Welcome to Oz Anime Podcast with Ben and Patrick Galbraith. Anime Podcast Episode 12. 1-2. My name is Ben Galbraith, and I'm the host, and my co-host is Patrick Galbraith. Say hello, Pat.
Hello.
Excellent. We've got a pretty cool show for you today. In fact, it's a pretty packed show. But before we get started, the song we just played was from Full Metal Alchemist by Lark NCL. I hope I got that name right. The song was called Ready, Steady, Go. Yeah, it was a cool song. That was requested by Akira. And just before we get started, I'll just run through what we've got in the show. We've got a review of Samurai Champloo. We've got a segment on ONAs, which are called Original Net Animations. And we also have a spotlight on Shinichiro Watanabe, and I will just say that it was originally going to be on the creator of You're Under Arrest and Oh My Goddess, Kosuke Fujishima, but unfortunately we'd sort of had a bit of a think about it, and we sort of Pat and I talked, and we decided that we actually really like, we haven't read any of his manga, basically, to put it quite bluntly, and I thought doing a spotlight on him when I've only seen the Oh My Goddess TV series wasn't, I don't think that'd be very fair, because we can't really give an honest opinion on his work, so I'm going to try and read some of that, and hopefully we'll be able to do it in the near future, maybe next episode, but I can't promise anything. We'll just say it's on hold indefinitely. That said, let's get into it. We will get into some news. There's not a lot of news, mainly because I just, you know, it wasn't a lot of interesting stuff, but something I read on Anime News Network, and some remarks I've read, you know, just around various forums and stuff, that Bleach apparently has been licensed by Viz. Apparently there was some sort of article that quotes staff at Viz, that basically they have acquired the license for Bleach. But that's completely unconfirmed. So I'm sure once Viz, or if Viz confirms that, it'll be a pretty big thing. Because I know, A, there's like heaps of fan subgroups that are doing Bleach. And it'll mean that they're not allowed to do it anymore. So be a pretty big thing. Well, what are your thoughts on that, Pat? Meh. He just shrugs his shoulders and goes, meh, don't really care. But, And another interesting thing I found out, I read this on Anime News Network, that convention Animania, apparently they've got pretty much their rules for dealers at their convention. I think, yeah, it's a 2006 convention in Brisbane, Animania. Apparently, the rules state, the organisation does not allow the sale of bootleg merchandise. Bootleg merchandise only applies only to titles licensed in Australia in the form of LDs, CDs, DVDs and videos, which basically means if it's not licensed here in Australia, then
Then you can sell it.
Then you can sell it. You can sell a bootleg of it. So I think that got quite a few people pissed off, which is a bit of a shame because it kind of gives us a bit of a bad name, I think. Because I think really the only kind of Australian distributor we have here is Madman. So kind of if it's not really licensed by Madman, some of the other bigger companies license it and they license it for like pretty much every region or something. And then they do a release. But if Madman doesn't license it, then I guess they can kind of sell bootlegs of it. So, yeah, anyway. And I also read that a new Mobile Suit Gundam Seed ONA is rumored to be being made. And I thought I found that, and I saw the word ONA, and I thought, sounds cool. And because we're doing a segment about ONAs, I thought that's pretty fitting. Don't really have any other details just yet. But anyway, we will jump into our first review, which is Samurai Champloo. And I did once again get the synopsis of Anime News Network, naughty me. I read it and I thought, nah, that's a bit shit. So I think I'll just come up with my own today. Basically, Samurai Champloo is about three characters. There's Mugen, Jin and Fu. Mugen is like this kind of animal-like, like he's a little bit of a loose cannon. He's kind of got this breakdance style fighting, you know, he like spins around on his head and kicks people and stuff. Then there's Jin, which is like, he's basically your traditional samurai. And then there's Fu, which is the chick, who I thought she was a really cool character. But anyway, Mugen and Jin, they kind of cross paths in this town at the start, and I'm trying to do this without giving it too much away, but they then run into Fu at a tea house where they kind of get into a bit of a fight, and they pretty much swear that they're going to kill each other. They get into a fight with each other, Mugen and Jin, and they basically say, I'm going to kill you. And then Fu steps in, and she's like, well, I'll let you kill each other, but first you have to come with me to find the samurai that smells like sunflowers. So they kind of go on
this journey. Sort of a bit of an adventure, yeah.
This journey to, I think they're trying to get to Nagasaki or something to find the samurai that smells like sunflowers. And let me just point out that this Samurai Champloo will begin airing on SBS at 10 p.m. on Thursday nights. I don't have the exact date, but it's when Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex ends, which is like probably a couple of weeks' time. So SBS is going to play that. Which I reckon I was pretty surprised at, actually. I reckon that's absolutely excellent. 26 episodes, originally aired in Japan 19th of the 5th, 2004, but I think they only aired up to, like, episode 17 or something. It was directed by Shinichiro Watanabe, and I have one piece of trivia for you. Something that I didn't know, but then my friend told me. And Champloo is another way of writing Chanploo, an Okinawan word for mixed together, and also a local delicacy made of tofu and vegetables. I think it's a little bit like a stir fry.
Yeah, I've heard it called stir fry before.
So, it sounds better than samurai stir fry. Actually, that'd be really bad if someone called it.
Yeah. But the director's the same director who did Cowboy Bebop.
And the Macross OVA, I think. So we're going to do a spotlight on him later on. But Samurai Champloo, I didn't get around to watching it. Like, I think I'd only watched, like, the first episode or something. And then I started watching it, and I really enjoyed it. And I think there are a lot of similarities with this, and I think Cowboy Bebop, I think that what Watanabe tends to do is, he usually takes outside influences from things that don't normally appear in anime, especially Samurai Champloo.
Well, I mean, it's basically incorporating samurai stuff with hip hop,
which is pretty really much
bizarre mix, but somehow it does work.
Yeah, like one thing when you're watching Samurai Champloo, if you're like a completely, like, let's say you've got a university degree in the ancient history of Japan, don't sit there going, "Ooh, look, that guy is walking around with yellow sunglasses on," because that's what happens in this. You have guys that like walking around in jumpsuit looking samurai suits, and like they've got yellow glasses on, or they've got like punk style hair, or just, you know, there's all this crazy stuff. But I think there's some other aspects of like the foreign influence that I think possibly might have actually happened. There was one episode, if you don't want to, this could be a bit of a spoiler, but there's like this episode where it's kind of like all about baseball. I think it's just like they made that just for like the baseball fans. And it's kind of like, it's realistic in the way that they do it. Like the Americans come to Japan on a ship and they kind of have to verse them in a baseball game. So that kind of thing's probably kind of realistic. I don't know how far baseball goes back, but I guess that could be quite plausible. So yeah, I think the character design in this, as the same as Cowboy Bebop, is just like insanely good. Like, you know, it's kind of just,
yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, all the designs, just the shots, the animation is really good. How all the fight scenes,
yeah,
the way they're choreographed with all these kind of hip hop spinning around doing all this.
Yeah, I mean that happens in the first episode, kind of like. Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain, but kind of like scratches almost, you know?
Yeah, there's some of the cuts between scenes but are like
that scratches. Actually doesn't, like, yeah, that actually really doesn't weird. Really continue on through the whole series. It's just
it would get kind of annoying if it did.
It would get very annoying, but it's cool because they don't do it too much. And
but there's like, also like, at the very start, I remember they kind of, they do this really cool bit where they like, they show a shot of the modern day, and then they like rewind back all the way, like, and then it appears in like, you know,
yeah, Japan. Actually, I really like that shot. There's like that homie dude. He's like walking past. He's like, you know, that was cool. I just think one thing I reckon's probably been so successful about Samurai Champloo is that the fact that he's taken the hip hop influences and he's integrated them into an old fashioned samurai story. So whereas the whole samurai journey tale's been done so many times, the fact that he's taken elements from hip hop and modern day influences, things like sunglasses and shit, and just put them into an old fashioned thing. You don't really get that kind of thing anywhere else.
No, definitely not.
So I mean, you know, the characters are all really well developed, and you know, as the story goes along, you just like, I don't know, you kind of. I mean, this was 26 episodes, and normally 26 episodes is enough for me, but I got to, like, episode 26, and I was just like, it would have been good if there was, like, an extra, you know, episode or something, you know? But, I don't know if they'll do a movie or not. I doubt they will. It just doesn't feel to me like this is the kind of thing they'll do anything more with. But, could be wrong. I guess they did a Cowboy Bebop movie, but I don't think that's probably anything to go on. But yeah, I think also like some of the small, like, I think the weapon design in this is really good as well. Like,
yeah, like the girl has this tiny little sword with the things.
Yeah, if you look at, I think I noticed, like, watching a Japanese film, there was this girl and she had her mobile phone and she had all these little trinkets hanging off it.
Yeah.
Like these little like toys and stuff. And then you notice when you look at Fu's little pink samurai dagger, she's got the same kind of thing hanging off her dagger.
Yeah.
So I thought that was it took me a while to hit on that, but I was like, that's really clever. Like, you know, bringing so many modern day influences, but doing them subtly like that. Some people wouldn't know, and then if you kind of do know, if you've seen it before, you kind of just be like, man, that's pretty damn smart. You know?
Yeah.
And the fact that like Mugen's sword kind of doesn't really look like a samurai sword. It looks more like I mean, it is a samurai sword, but it looks to me more like sort of more of a European style.
So it's got Western influences in the design.
Yeah, it's got the, I forget the part on the sword, but like, samurai swords usually just have the handle, they've got the small sort of circle bit before the blade. Whereas European ones had the big kind of like...
curly kind of...
curly stopping guard things.
Yeah.
He's got some of those on his sword, I think. And it's also white. I think the handle is white and gold or something. So I thought that was pretty cool. Also, there's like an episode... this is a bit of a spoiler. There's also an episode where like... there's these guys that are just like going around graffiti arting everything. They're just, like, doing all this graffiti art on, like, temples and stuff. And it's, like, modern-day graffiti and stuff, you know? And,
yeah.
I thought that's something else that was really clever. And I think anyone else that's seen Samurai Champloo could probably agree with me that the amount of, like, modern-day influences that they've put in it really just helps to give it a kind of an original...
unique and...
yeah, they've just kind of put a real original spin on it. Much like I think he did with, you know, Cowboy Bebop. But not as much, because that was a sci-fi thing, I mean, you know. But he'd sort of had the old, kind of old-fashioned cowboy feel to it, almost.
Yeah, yeah. And then all the kind of jazz, blues music. And
yeah. Anyway.
He's great at mixing things together.
Yeah. The music as well. He's, the music... designers they get in for his series are always just really good.
Yeah,
a lot of hip hop music in this one. So, anyway, well, we'll move on.
So wait, when's that playing on SBS? Do you know?
I don't know. I think it's 23rd, maybe. I don't know. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at my.
It'll probably be broadcast in English.
23rd, I think. 23rd.
So they'll probably be playing the English dub.
Thursday, the 23rd. At 10 p.m.
Okay.
And on SBS.
This will be the English dub?
I'd say it would be. I don't know. I'm not sure. I reckon I'd bet money on it that it would be the English dub. But, you know, SBS, it's kind of the international station here in Australia. So.
Personally, what would you prefer? The English or the Japanese?
I haven't heard the English. I watched a fan sub, so I've only heard the Japanese. And the Japanese was really good. Yeah, I thought Fu's voice for the Japanese was really well picked. Well, actually, they were all well picked, and I think I might sit down and watch the English one if SBS plays the English one, English dub, just to see what it's like. And I think I probably won't enjoy it.
It is. It's hard, really hard to get into something when you've already watched it in one language.
Yeah,
it
feels like you're watching something that just I don't know. Just it never lives up.
It just clashes somehow. Clashes and doesn't.
Actually, I find that if I watch something in English as well, it's hard to switch over to the Japanese. But not as hard as the other way around. But anyway. Someone once said on one of the forums that we should give a star rating for when we review something. But we decided that we wouldn't do that because at the end of the day, we're not really trying to do a critical review. We're sort of almost just like... it's almost like a recommendation for it. So, yeah. Anyway. So we'll move on to the next segment, which is all about ONAs, original net animations. But before we do that, we will just have another song, which is... the song is from an anime called Ashiteru's Baby, and the song is... let's see if I can get this right. I don't think I'll be able to pronounce that, so...
give it an attempt.
Oh, okay, I'll have a go. Okay, it's, Nienensai. That was horrible. Yeah, anyway, I'll play the song. So, yeah. And then we'll go on to the next segment. Oz Anime Podcast with Ben and Patrick Galbraith.
Oh,
after this song, and I'm not going to try and pronounce that name again. But this is a segment that Patrick wanted to do, and I thought it was a pretty good idea. And it's called All About ONAs, Original Net Animations, or I put in brackets on the show notes, free anime, because really...
Yeah, I mean, the best thing about them is that they're free, I suppose.
Yep.
Do
you want to read the definition?
Yeah, well, I just got this definition off. I won't read it all, but the definition off Anime News Network, which is pretty good. And it says that where an original animated video, OAV, is anime created for the direct-to-video market. Original net animation refers to anime created to be released directly onto the internet. The term ONA was first coined by the creators of Lingerie Fighter Papillion Rose and anime... Well, anyway, it goes on, but... basically, yeah, it's as simple as that. An original net animation, or ONA, is basically an animation created for the internet. So, that's where it's distributed. And, usually, well, we decided that we'd mainly just put ones that were created by production companies that work on normal animes too, so...
Interesting.
But there are... Well, okay, some of the things that are released as ONAs are simply just preview episodes for up-and-coming animation. So what they do is... And sometimes even they release the first episode, which I think was the case of Wings of Rain, where they released the first episode, but only for a limited time.
Yeah.
So I think it's no longer available.
Mm.
But you could, during a certain period of time, watch the first episode online.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I guess there's a few reasons why someone would want to release a net animation, because they don't make money out of it, you know, like they would other animations. And as I mentioned, one of the reasons is definitely for publicity and for the advertising. So just promotion. Sometimes they're created by, like, individual creators, so they just do it basically because they have, it's the best way to distribute it and get it to the most people. And, anyway, so I guess we'll go through some different ones that are available. One of the, Ben, should we say the first one we saw? Which was,
Well, that's the only one we've seen. That was the,
The only one you've seen.
Azumanga Web Dio.
Yeah.
Basically,
For those people who saw Azumanga Dio, they got Production IG to release, like, a really short kind of mini episode online.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I think it did confuse, some people, but...
But I found it really interesting, because it was interesting to see a different company's interpretation of the characters and the animation.
Mm.
So
actually, yeah, that's right, because we watched to the end of Azumanga, and then we watched the ONA, which was done by Production IG, and it's got their distinct style to it.
Yeah.
It's not the kind of the cutesy look that Azumanga has, basically.
Yeah.
It's a lot more hard-edged.
Mm.
But to think they did that free and they released it on the internet, you know, it's pretty good, actually, I reckon.
Mm. Yeah, no.
Because, I mean, look, most, like, I would say most, if not all, ONAs are short.
Yeah.
I'd take a guess that most of them only run for maybe 5 to 10 minutes, maybe the most 15 minutes. So they're never going to do full episodes and release them on the net.
Well, I think there's the occasional one, but
in
general, they're pretty short.
I don't think it's really kind of about that. It's not about releasing an entire 26-episode series that's as good as Cowboy Bebop on the internet.
For free.
Just because I think it's really just about something different to do, you know? Something to basically please the fans. You could say it's almost a bit of fan service. look back to our episode on fan service if you don't know what we're meaning by that. Those of you who have heard it will understand. So, I mean, Patrick printed out, like, this giant list of ONAs, and I was actually shocked. The only two I'd heard of was the Azumanga one and the King of Fighters ONA. Well, and he handed me this list. He's like, check out all the ones I found. And I'm like, damn, like...
How many? I think it's about, 16 or something.
Oh, it's a couple of pages worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, good 2 pages.
The only problem with them is a lot of them aren't available anymore. You know, that's the only thing.
You can probably get them...
Which is unfortunate, like, because you'll go to the site and, you know, it had been released, you know, early 2005, mid-2004 or something, and it's not available anymore. It's like, oh.
So if you do hear that there's an ONA online...
Yeah, definitely get it straight away.
And you want to see it, get it, because... Don't go, oh yeah, it's free. It'll be around forever, because it won't be.
I think one we should talk about quickly is the King of Fighters one, because that's done by Production IG. And
really? And, wow. They did another one. They're crazy. Now, you were the one that researched this, so I'll let you explain it, because I don't actually
know. Well, basically, yeah, Production IG did it, and it looks really... I haven't had a chance to watch one of the episodes yet, but... it looks really good. It's, you know, it's got their typical, you know, very good animation and characters and everything. It's basically based on the video game King of Fighters, and I think the story is based after King of Fighters Maximum Impact. So, but I think they're mixing the stories a little bit. Basically, what they did is they released 4 chapters, and each one's 6 minutes. So. Well, 6 to 10 minutes around that.
Yeah.
So, about 40 minutes, I guess.
I think the fourth one came out just recently.
Yeah.
So they're all out.
So you can get them all in Japanese from the official site.
Mm.
If you do want to get them in English, like with English subtitles, then you have to look for the fan sub.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we could probably put a link to one if you want, because it has been released free, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's
true. I would sort of think that there's a chance that if some of these ONAs are successful, that you down the track you could possibly see series made out of them, you know? Like, it probably wouldn't surprise me, because I've heard this King of Fighters thing pop up a lot, and it wouldn't surprise me if one day they actually made a proper series, you know? But yeah, that's just me being hopeful. But this Papillion Rose one, was a hentai one, wasn't it? It's supposed to be a hentai one, but it actually doesn't exist.
Oh, no, no.
It was a complete crock of shit.
So you're talking about Papillion Rose?
Yeah.
I just put this in because this is a kind of a funny story. It's kind of weird. It's some hentai ONA that someone put up as a joke. They created like an official website, and they had pictures that they'd got from other animes where they'd like changed their hair color or something, and they put theme songs and all this stuff, and basically it became extremely popular, and then an animation studio apparently actually picked it up
and made it
and made an OVA out of it. So
good on them. Yeah, I think that it
but
it
yeah it
like
would
hentai.
But yeah, there's it doesn't exist, but anyway, it's pretty weird.
The plot in the notes I've got says plot is completely basically it parodies the magical girl genre and Sailor Moon in particular. So but they wear lingerie instead of sailor uniforms. Oh dear, what a world we live in.
There is one that that is, well, it's not Japanese, but Bandai did a... Bandai America did a bunch of things based on their collectible miniatures game called Navia Drapped. So there's like a bunch of small episodes, based on this collectible miniatures game they did. It's more like a promotional thing, just like web episode type thing.
See, that's a smart idea.
Yeah. Anyway, our list, we've got heaps of them. There's a whole bunch of them.
I don't know if we'll go through them all.
No, we probably don't need to.
No, there's a lot. There's a lot. I think we really should move on, actually. So, ONAs, to sum it up, basically, free anime. Original net animations. They are done for free. They're put out on the internet. Companies like Production IG can do them. I'd say there would be a lot of, like, flash animations.
Oh, there's plenty of animations on the internet
that are
just, yeah,
like more fan.
But we've just basically put down a list of ones that are done by
studios.
Yeah, mostly studios or, you know, sometimes individual creators and stuff. But
I'd say there'd be tons and tons of fan.
Yeah, no, we didn't really count any of them in the list because there'd just be too many to list.
Yeah,
it would just get silly.
Yep. Anyway, well, let's move on, because we're eating up the time. So, this comes to the spotlight on. We're going to do Shinichiro Watanabe. And I will just apologize again to all the people that were expecting this spotlight on Kosuke Fujishima. I explained the reason earlier on. I won't say it again, but, you know, I'd just like to apologize for that. But I think the decision we made was probably the right one. Shinichiro Watanabe is a Japanese director and writer. He's most well known for anime series such as Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, and Macross Plus OVA. He debuted as a co-director of the well-received Macross anime, Macross Update, Macross Plus. After that, he did his 26-episode series Cowboy Bebop, followed by the theatrical Cowboy Bebop movie, Knocking on Heaven's Door, or these days it's mostly just known as Cowboy Bebop, the movie. That was done in 2003. Watanabe directed his first anime for Americans with Kid's Story and A Detective Story, both part of the Animatrix, an anthology of Animatrix. And animated shorts of backstories from the movie The Matrix. His next directorial effort was in the mature anime series Samurai Champloo, which began broadcasting on Fuji TV in Japan on May 19th, 2004. That's basically just a rundown of what he's done. I do have a list of, like, a lot of the other stuff he's worked on.
Stuff like Cowboy Bebop mangas and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Eureka 7. He did some storyboards for that. Mobile Suit Gundam Stardust Memory, unit director. Mobile Suit Gundam Wing, storyboard for episode 34.
He did Escaflowne.
Visions of Escaflowne.
Yeah, storyboards.
Storyboard for episode 5, 8, 12, 16, and unit director on 5 and 8.
So, yeah, a huge bunch of things.
He's done a variety of stuff. He's one of those guys that's kind of... He's really only done Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo.
But they're really. Both... They're both pretty large series.
They're both 26 episodes, and they're both, like...
Very good.
Very good, you know? So it's quantity over quality, you know? But probably like most...
Sorry, you mean the other way around, don't you?
Sorry. Quality over quantity. I'm glad you pointed that out, because I probably would have made myself look like a complete tool just then. Sorry, yes. Quality over quantity. That's the right one, right? Yeah. God, I'm such an idiot. Some stylistic trademarks that I found on the article on the Wikipedia. These could contain spoilers. He directs films or shorts often focusing on the eyes of the main character. In Cowboy Bebop, Spike has eyes of two different shades of brown, because one is, I think, like bionic. When he falls out of a church window, Spike falls head first and the camera zooms in on one of his eyes. when the kid falls in Kid's Story, which is one of the Animatrix one that does the same sort of thing, as he's falling, it zooms into his eye. And A Detective Story, which is another one of the Animatrix ones, one character has a bug removed and implanted in one eye, shown as a close-up both times. So I found that quite interesting.
The other thing is definitely just the way he mixes all these different elements together, all these different influences. Definitely. Like, you know, I mean, we've probably mentioned this heaps of times, but, you know, Samurai Champloo with
modern influences and
the samurai, you know,
you know, cowboy bebop, the jazz music, blues music, probably a bit of classical.
The other thing is, yeah, that music in general does play a big influence.
Yeah.
In, you know,
I don't know how much, I guess because he was the director and pretty much creator for Samurai Champloo and Cowboy, I'm not quite sure how much influence he would have had over the music, but I'd say it probably would have been a lot. And for Cowboy Bebop, he got Yoko Kanno to do a lot, if not all of it. I can't quite remember. And I don't know who he got the Samurai Champloo one, but I think it's various like hip-hop artists and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cowboy Bebop did include just a lot of tracks from, you know, just various sources. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I keep, reading that he's, gone to conventions in America quite a few times.
So he does attend a lot of American conventions.
I don't know.
I
think he's been to a few.
I'm sure he's extremely popular in the West.
Yeah, I think he's... Because I think the kind of... I think he's actually a big fan of the whole Western culture because he uses so many influences. And, I mean, most of the time in Cowboy Bebop, usually when you're watching an anime, you're kind of thinking you're watching Japanese people, pretty much, you know?
Yeah.
Things like Cowboy Bebop, it's really quite American in its influence.
I think I remember Yoko kind of said that she traveled to America before she did Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, she was very influenced
by the music there and stuff. Mm, so.
Like New Orleans and stuff. Music there. Shinichiro Watanabe at Michigan State University and stuff like that. So I think he goes to America a fair bit. I don't know. That's just what I've read, so I'm not sure. He takes a lot of influences from different kinds of films as well. Film noir. There's a bit of that in, Cowboy Bebop. Bit of Hong Kong action movies. Spike in
definitely.
Cowboy Bebop.
He's got the full-on Bruce Lee martial arts style. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, for instance, in Samurai Champloo, he mixes the cultures of Okinawa, hip-hop, modern-day Japan, and samurai films. So it's kind of he's chucked all that stuff together, and a lot of people would be mixing modern day with samurai. It's samurais running around with Uzis or something, you know, but it's not that kind of thing. He's just added subtle little kind of props, pretty much, really. Props and costumes and stuff. But when you look at them in Samurai Champloo, they don't look futuristic, if you know what I mean. They still look like they belong in that era in Japan.
It was like he wanted to make a samurai movie, and instead of researching about samurais, he did all his research on hip hop and all this sort of stuff. Instead of focusing on the actual history of it and stuff. So
I don't know if we can really tell you any more about Watanabe. I think we're pretty much we talked you know, listening to the Samurai Champloo review and this, you probably get a pretty good idea of how it works, I reckon. So I reckon we'll probably move on to the next part, which is a fan review of Fullmetal Alchemist by Akira. Good old Akira. So I'm just pretty much reading what he wrote, and I will start now. So, Edward and Alphonse Elric live in a village called Risenbull with their mother. They have always loved alchemy, especially since their missing father was an alchemist. But one day, Tricia Elwick, Ed and Al's mother, dies of a sickness. Ed and Al are determined to bring her back to life with the forbidden human alchemy. Ed loses his leg and Al loses his entire body. Ed sacrifices his arm in order to bind Al to a suit of armor. Ed gets an auto mail and leg and... Ed gets an auto mail, leg and arm, and then they burn down their house and leave Risenbul in order to find the Philosopher's Stone, the only thing that can restore their bodies to what they formerly were. Full Metal Alchemist is one of the greatest animes ever made. It has a great story with lots of plot twists. The show has superb characters, and the mysteries of the show are incredible. Numerous characters are not what they seem, and some characters really want to help Ed and Al, but actually want them dead. Full Metal Alchemist can be easily spoiled, so I'll try and limit spoilers, but you've been warned. Some characters die, and a lot live when they should die. Seven of the characters are truly sins of nature. The show is also funny. People often call Al Full Metal Alchemist when Full Metal is actually Ed. Ed is also short for his age, so laughter is bound to happen. Full Metal Alchemist has 51 episodes and a movie. I think the movie's called The Conqueror of Shambhala. It's the best anime ever made. Full Metal Alchemist manga splits off from the anime halfway through the show, so both have different endings. Full Metal Alchemist really could have a second series, so I really hope there is one. The show has so many plot twists and character deaths that it's hard to summarize the show in a single review. I suggest getting Full Metal Alchemist volume by volume. It's worth every single cent. So that was a fan review by Kira. I think he also wrote the Excel Saga review. That was last episode. We had that one?
Yeah.
Good. Excellent review, Akira. We've seen the first two episodes of Full Metal Alchemist.
It seems like a pretty fun and addictive. Yeah. Very addictive, I reckon.
51 episodes, pretty long.
It's not too
it's
bad.
It's not too long, but...
So there's only one season.
Sorry?
There's only one season. So.
Yeah, but it's a 51 episode, so...
I'm pretty surprised about that. I thought there'd be more, but...
Yeah, I thought Full Metal Alchemist was like one of those series that was hugely long. But it wasn't, so...
Hmm.
Yeah, but we've seen the first two episodes, and I really liked it, actually. I think the characters are really great. So that actually concludes episode 12 of Oz Anime Podcast. So, hope you enjoyed it. Once again, apologies for changing the spotlight on, but these things have to be done time and time again. Our website is ozanimepodcast.blogspot.com. Where we put our episode notes, links, etc., etc. I've also set up a forum. There's a link to that after on the page. So if you're one of our fans, go and join the forum, and you can post suggestions and whatnot. Give us a little bit about yourself, song requests, whatnot. So to take us out, the song is from Mezzo Danger Service Agency, Tsukimama Matai.
Which is what we're watching that at the moment.
We're watching Mezzo right now, and I love Mezzo. It's a cool song. So, hope you enjoy this episode, and hopefully you're looking forward to our episode next week. So, have a nice week, everyone. Oz Anime Podcast with Ben and Patrick Galbraith. I'm gonna go to the